Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Mem Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins at the bottom line of Daf Mem Vov Amid Beis. Before we begin the actual Gemara, let us glance in the margin where we have a Nosei/Mivneh heading. The house marking that you see will feature deos, different opinions, beinyan, regarding cases where a sale is made by the customer saying, Mechor li be'elu, sell me your item, and he says be'elu, with these. And Rashi will explain that he is holding money in his hands, and he says to his friend, you have an item that I'm interested in, sell it to me for this. And he has a cluster of money in his hand, whether it be a bunch of coins or a few bills, whatever, but the owner of the item, the seller, doesn't inquire how much there is, and he accepts the clump of bills as they are for the item. So the question the Gemara will deal with is, first of all, does the deal go through, and how does it go through? Is it in terms of a what kind of kinyan would you call that? We've discussed, and we're not going to go over in terms of an introduction, all those different points that we've been discussing in our previous, in our most recent shiurim. So by all means, if you're a first-time listener, you'll have to familiarize yourself with the last couple of dapim of Gemara to understand or appreciate the distinction between a kinyan chalipin and a kinyan based on domim, a value payment type deal. Another issue that comes up is whether ein or yesh oino, is there a problem of overcharging over here or not? You can understand very well that in a straightforward case of a kinyan chalipin, we'll call it the handkerchief case, where I give you my handkerchief and I get in exchange your item, there's no issue of undercharging. Obviously the handkerchief is worth much is worth much less than the new Rolls Royce that I'm getting in exchange, but that issue of oino doesn't come up because that was a kinyan chalipin. But where there is a value payment for something, then the rules of oino certainly will apply. Oino is the prohibition of overcharging or undercharging, where a seller can get ripped off also of 1/6 the value. If I overcharge something by 1/6 or more of the market value, I am guilty of overcharging you. So that if I'm a seller that ripped you off, I'll have to return that 1/6 value that I took above and beyond the market value. And we'll see later, likewise, with regard to a seller that was naive and was underpaid by a conniving buyer. The Gemara. Omar Rabo, Omar Rav Huna, Mechor li be'elu, sell me your item with these. And as we explained before, he's holding a cluster of money, and the seller doesn't bother inquiring how much money there is, and the deal is thereby clinched, and as the Gemara says, kona means the deal is clinched and neither side can back out. When he raised the money, the clump of money the cluster of bills, he said, sell me your item with these. The seller agreed. He took the money. And that's it. The deal is clinched by taking the money. We continue on the top of Daf Mem Zayin. V'yesh loy olav ono. And if the amount of money is not enough to cover the value of the item, he gave him a sixth less than the value of the item, so then there is a violation of Oino, whereby the seller was being ripped off. The Gemara now goes over these points. We made points and we called them Aleph and Beis, and now we go over another point. Kono af al gav de lo moshach. We say that the deal is clinched by the seller taking the money, even if the buyer did not draw the item. We've discussed that quite extensively till now, that the proper means of acquisition of portables is through meshicha, through drawing the item. Here, the item wasn't drawn, and yet the deal is clinched. And now we explain that second point. The cave on the lo kopid kona the chi chalip and domi. Since the seller did not demonstrate his concern regarding the amount of money there is, it's then the clump of bills was simply like handing him a handkerchief. And it therefore has the characteristic of chalipin, of an immediate exchange, an immediate transfer of ownership through the chalipin method of kinyan, which, by the way, this would be in contrast to someone who, let us say, paid a known amount of cash up front for it. So we would, at that point, we would say the deal is not clinched, because when you're paying cash money for an item, deals are not clinched. But since though money was used, but since there wasn't any expressed concern for the amount of money, could be that the amount was far less than the value of the item, and yet he was willing to accept it. We're viewing it as if he was accepting the handkerchief in exchange for an item worth many times more. And we know that that kind of deal is clinched. V'yesh lo yalov ona, and as far as the first point that was made, there, the laws of overcharging or undercharging apply. The mechor li be'elu ko'amale. He used an expression of mecher, a sale, as opposed to the loshen, as opposed to an expression of chalipin, of exchange. When it comes to a deal in the chalipin method, so as we've already said several times today, the handkerchief though it might have value, and doesn't correspond at all to the item being sold. There's no issue of oino on that particular transaction. But that's fine and good if you use the expression indicating that you're interested in a chalipin type transaction. He didn't use that expression here. He used the term mechor. Mechor indicates a commercial type transaction, a purchase transaction. And with transactions like that, the laws of ono do apply. So that even though we were describing the clump of money before like a handkerchief, but not all the way, since the language of the transaction was one of a sale, the laws of ono will apply. So that when eventually they count the money and they see it's way off from the value of the item exchanged, some restitution or reconciliation must be achieved. Rav Abba Amrav Huna, notice we call this number two, Mechor li ve'elu kona, v'ein loy olav ona. And he also addresses the points made by the first opinion, namely Rabba, quoting Rav Huna, but you notice there's a difference. Rabbi Abba Amrav Huna mentions that in the transaction like that of Mechor li ve'elu, the deal is clinched, but there is no issue of oino. Pshita, the following is something that we find, we'll say, obvious or understandable. Domim v'ein makbid alehem. If money is used for creating the transaction, but there is no particular expressed concern regarding the amount of money. Ho kuamrinon dekoni. We said that the deal goes through. And by the way, Rabba and Rabbi Abba, both quoting Rav Huna, said that. They both said kona. Chalipin umakbid alehem mai. What about a case of say a chalipin type deal? And makbid alehem means the value of the item being given as the handkerchief. The receiver of that is concerned that it has the purported value. We take a look at Rashi. Chalipin umakbid alehem nosan lo chefetz. Someone gives an article bechefetz in exchange for receiving something in return. Beturas chalipin, in the chalipin form of transaction, liknois kedin kinyin shiklinin besudar, to create a transaction, a transfer of ownership in the way we do when we use the handkerchief. Vezeh makbid liro sheyasu b'shoveh kol kach, and the one who is receiving the fabric, the handkerchief, is actually concerned that the fabric is worth what it's purported to be. Rashi says, Mahu, mi konu travayu b'mishicho d'chad binayu. Does the drawing of one clinch the deal for, does it clinch the deal that you receive the item and the other item is transferred even though the customer, the purchaser, did not draw it. Odilma, or possibly Hoyul Vehikpid Alehem, Harein Kedomim, since the receiver of the fabric, of the handkerchief, was not viewing it just as a mere piece of fabric, but interested that the value, that the purported value of it really is so. Vahavi Lehumois. And then, in a case like that, it would be like a financial payment. The ain kainasatsha yimshoch gamasheni. In a case of a financial payment, a value payment, cash payment, the deal is not clinched until both parties draw their respective items, namely when you're using money to buy a portable, so and you're paying the money up front. The drawing of the money does not clinch the deal until the customer draws the item being purchased. So how are we to view a case where the handkerchief is being used, but the receiver of the handkerchief is concerned that it has its, we'll say, its marked value? The Gemara responds, Omar Rav Ado Bar Avo, Ta Shma. So we quote a Tanaic source. Note that we have a long marking. Hare shoya toifes porosoi v'oimed. Man is holding his cow, who he's holding upon his cow and standing there. Ubo chaver v'omerlo poros choloma. And another party comes along and says, why did you bring your cow to the market? So he answers, L'chamor ani tzorach. I'm interested in acquiring a donkey. So the inquisitive party says, well, yeshli chamor shani no se loch. I have a donkey that I would give to you. Poros cho bekama. How much is your cow worth? How much is it? And he says, my cow's worth thus and thus. And chamor cho bekama. If you're going to give me your donkey for my cow, well, how much is your donkey worth? Bekach, bekach. And he states the amount. So we have two parties that are interested in the actual value of the items. Moshach ba'al achamor zapora. If the donkey owner who was interested in getting the pora, he drew the cow. Velo hispik ba'al hapora limshech es achamor ad shemes achamor. And the owner of the cow that was interested in getting the donkey didn't have a chance to draw the donkey until it died. Lo kona bal hachamor esapora. So the fellow who drew the para does not gain ownership of the para. The fellow who was expecting to get the donkey, it died before he got it. Now in this story, the first drawing was the drawing of the para. The original donkey owner wanted to acquire a para. He drew the para, and yet the source says it doesn't go through. Shema mino, we see from here, chalipin umakben aleim lo kona. This was a chalipin case where one would draw one item, and the thinking was that upon drawing that item, the other item would be transferred immediately. But that is not the case where there is a pre-expressed concern regarding the actual value of the item. You don't have an immediate deal clincher that you would have had in the traditional handkerchief case, where the one who's taking the handkerchief isn't really concerned about the value of the handkerchief. Here, there was an expressed concern over the value of the first item being drawn. And what do we see from here? It functions as a cash-type payment and not a chalipin. And as we already said today and many times in our previous shurim, paying cash up front does not clinch deals. We saw there's a machlokis between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Does it not clinch deals on a rabbinic level, or doesn't clinch deals whatsoever? But it doesn't. Cash payments or value payments that are made initially do not clinch deals. The Gemara rejects this. Omar Rava, Atu Chalipin Bishuftani Askina de Lokapti. Do you think that in general, Chalipin cases, immediate exchange cases, where drawing one item is the catalyst for the immediate transfer of the other item, are you to think that Chalipin that is referred to in the scriptures is talking about shuftini, people that are imbeciles, the lokapti, that have no concern regarding the value of that which they're receiving? Rashi says a couple lines up from here, b'shuftini askinu de lokapti ladashu shavois ktsas domim. The extreme case where a person is drawing the handkerchief in exchange for the Rolls Royce. The feeling here is that the person who's taking the handkerchief, he expects it to have some value. Okay, much, much less than the value of the new shiny Rolls Royce, but it's expected to have some value. Lossay slow es shalo kinegdo. The expectation is I'm getting a handkerchief that has some value to it to motivate me to transfer ownership of the new car to you. And even so, the deals, the chalipin cases go through. They go through immediately. So that even though, so how can you say that chalipin umakban alayan is a reason not to view it as an immediate transfer of ownership by the drawing of the first item? Ella, kol chalipin mikbad kapti vikona. All cases of chalipin where an item is given from Mr. A to Mr. B in exchange for Mr. B's item. All cases like that, when Mr. A is giving an item of little significance to Mr. B, but Mr. B is concerned with that item, that representative or nominal item has some value, and yet the deals are clinched immediately. So too, over here, you would have expected then that when the owner of the donkey drew the para, the deal should have been clinched, and the guy buying the para would have lost out because the animal died. Why then, in the above Tanaic source, does it say that the deal was not clinched immediately? And in the above source, you notice we have a dash underline. You can parallel this dash underlining with the lo kana dash underlining that you saw at the end of the Tanaic source. Here, why is it that it's lo kana, that it's not an immediate deal clincher? D'yomalei, because the deal was really as follows. Chamor bepara utle. I'll give you my chamor for your cow and a sheep. Umoshach es hapara, and he drew the cow. V'adayin lo moshach es hatle. And he didn't yet draw the sheep. D'lo havilei meshicha malya. The initial meshicha was not ma'ali, wasn't proper, it wasn't complete. So when the initial drawing wasn't even accomplished, because then he drew half of the items that constituted his offering. Therefore, when the donkey died before the sheep was drawn, in addition to the cow, therefore the deal didn't get started. Omar Mar. Here we quote from, you see we have a little star to the immediate side of the Gemara text indicating Mem Vav Omid Beis. So we're quoting from Rav Huna there. Mechor li be'elu Kona v'yesh loy olav oina. According to Rabba's version of Rav Huna, holding up a wad of bills, the amount there wasn't really known. So by taking the wad of bills, we say that the deal is clinched immediately. And the laws of Ono, according to Rabba's version, do apply. Now, what was being used to clinch the deal? Cash, coins. I mentioned the example of a wad of bills, but that was simply for illustration purposes. To be precise in terms of the Gemara and the translation, we'll talk about coins. And from what Rabba, quoting Rav Huna, says, that the drawing of the coins clinched the deal. Ah, lema sova Rav Huna matbea nasa chalipin. Should we say that Rav Huna is of the opinion that a coin serves as the catalyst for chalipin? Now, this was a major discussion that we've had in our previous shiurim. So, should we say that Rav Huna joins the school of thought that says matbea nasa chalipin? Lo. And here the Gemara responds. It takes a few lines. Rav Huna sovar lo k'Rav Yochanan diomar. Rav Huna, in saying that the deal is clinched, is saying not because a coin serves as chalipin, but rather Rav Huna holds, like Rav Yochanan, the Omar Dvar Torah Mois Koinois, that on a strictly Torah level, cash does clinch a deal. A cash payment, a value payment, on a Torah level, clinches a deal. And when we say clinches a deal, we've said this so many times in recent shurim, it means neither party can back out. So when cash is paid for something on a Torah level, it does clinch a deal, according to Rabbi Yochanan. And we're saying Rav Huna subscribes to Rabbi Yochanan. Umitnei ma'omru, why in general do we say meshicha kaina, that the deal is not clinched until the item, the portable, is drawn? Gezeira shema yoimar lo. We're fearful that if the cash, the upfront cash payment, clinched the deal, the owner of the item, we'll call him the seller, he no longer has any interest, once receiving the money, in preserving the item that he's selling. If he's, let's say, selling chitim, wheat, and a fire breaks out, he has no motivation to put out the fire or save the wheat from burning. He got his money. So the rabbis intervened and said, because of their interest in motivating sellers to preserve the item that they just sold, so the rabbi said, you know, the money that you got wasn't the deal clincher. Now, the rabbis make rules and enactments, milso d'shchicha goes rabbanan. Common type transactions are those that are covered by rabbinic enactment. A straightforward cash payment where people will say count out their money and use the known counted out money as a means of paying for an item. That's standard practice. So in those cases, the rabbi said, even though you're counting out the money and the seller is taking your money, the deal is not clinched, as we explained. We want to maintain a motivation level on the seller to care for the item being sold until the customer takes actual physical possession of it. So that is where the rabbis move in and make their enactments. Common cases. However, Milsa de lo shricha lo gozer b'rabbanan. Unusual kind of cases, the rabbis didn't move in to make their enactment. So that a guy who holds up a pouch of coins and says mechor li bielu, and the seller doesn't bother counting them, that's an unusual situation, and therefore the rabbis leave that in the original form. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, that means on a Torah level, and the rabbis don't intervene here to make any change in that. The payment is the deal clincher. So that by saying all of that, we don't have to come to say that Rav Huna holds matbea nase chalipin, because this was not a chalipin transfer. It was a domim, a value, a money, a standard money purchase. The Gemara continues. Omar le morhuna bre d'Rav Nachman l'Rav Ashi. Atun hochi masni sula. You present the issue of Rav Huna's stance with regard to matbea nase chalipin or not in this fashion, where you weren't sure. At the Gemara, a few lines up, said, Lema sova Rav Huna, shall we say that Rav Huna holds Mabeas Chalipin? In other words, it wasn't clear to you what Rav Huna's stance is. Anan hochi masnina law. We present Rav Huna as a matter of fact, as one of the members of the list, back on Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, that hold V'chein Omer Rav Huna, Ein Mabea Nasa Chalipin. We have Rav Huna without any doubts about what his stance is, as one of the series of opinions that holds ein matbea na sechalipin, that the use of a coin in a chalipin fashion to clinch a deal, that wouldn't work. It wouldn't serve to clinch the deal. And before, where Rav Huna said, after a pouch of money was held up, mechor li bielu, and he said the deal was clinched, because that was a Torah level form of domim, a cash payment, a cash deal, where, as we said, Rav Yochanan holds on a Torah level, paying money for an item does clinch a deal. But once again, not through the offices of Kinyan Chalipin, but a Kinyan Domim. The slash mark that you see in the Gemara indicates that which follows is a new trend of thought. On the side of the Gemara, we have an Osei topic heading, in which we see a Machlokas Rav the Levi, Shelmihu Hasudur Bikinya Chalipin. We say that a handkerchief can be used to clinch the deal. Whose handkerchief is being pulled out in order to clinch the deal? Levi will tell you Bekalev Shelmakne. It's with the vessel, the handkerchief that's used. We speak about handkerchief often because that's the traditional method of creating the chalipin, the immediate exchange transaction. In the verse from the book of Ruth, a shoe was used. So whose shoe was it? Levi says it's the seller's shoe. The seller would give the shoe or the handkerchief to the buyer, and upon the buyer taking the handkerchief, he acquires the item that he's interested in purchasing. The opinion of Rav is Bekelev Shelkaina. The customer takes out a handkerchief, gives the handkerchief to the seller, and in exchange, the seller gives the seller transfers ownership of the item to that buyer. Now the Gemara. Bameh Kainin, in a Kinyan Chalipin, the article that's used to serve as the catalyst for the deal to go through, for the transfer to go through, whose vessel is used? Rav Omar Bekelev Shelkaina. It's the purchaser's vessel, the customer's vessel. The Nicholei Lakaina, the Lehavei Makne Kaina. The customer is desirous and satisfied when the seller receives something from him, from the buyer. Kihechi Deligmar Velikni Lei. So as to create a mindset of willingness to transfer his item to the customer. So customer gives something and gets in return the item he's interested in acquiring. How does he generate the willingness on the part of the seller to part with the item? By the customer, by the kaina offering something. V'levi Omar Bekelev Shomakne Kidboinon Lemeimar Lekamon. Levi holds that the seller's item is the item used to effectuate, to clinch the Chalipin transaction, as we'll explain later. The Gemara now continues with a question. You notice we have a long question marking. Omar Le Rav Huna Mi Diskarta Le Rava. Rav Huna from Diskarta says to Rava, Ulalevi de Omar Bekelev Shel Makne. According to Levi, that says the seller's handkerchief, the seller's shoe, the seller's vessel is that which is used to activate the transaction. There's a problem in that. What's the problem in that? The Gemara explains Haka Kani Aro Agav Glima. Imagine a parcel of land was being transacted in this fashion. So what you have here is that along with the portable, the glima is an article of clothing, cloth, fabric. It's the portable item that's used to clinch the deal. So the deal, the action is done. Let's say the transaction is done on the portable, and along with that comes the parcel of land. That runs against the rules of transactions. Let's read that again. According to Levi, that said, Bekelev Shel Makne, the landowner himself is providing the handkerchief to the customer. Hakakani Ara Agav Glima. A piece of land, if it's a case of that type of transaction, a land deal, is being acquired along with the fabric. Im kein havulei, the result of that would be nechosim sheish lamachrayas, niknim im nechosim sheish lamachrayas. The expression nechosim sheish lamachrayas is an expression referring to real estate. And nechosim sheish lamachrayas is an expression referring to portables. So what we have here is you've got real estate being acquired along with portables. Namely, a kinyan is made on the portables. The gesture of acquisition is made on the handkerchief, and along with that you get a parcel of land. And in terms of the laws of transactions, we know the opposite to be the case. Nechosim she'ein lahem achrayas, portables, niknimim nechosim she'ein achrayas, are acquired along with a land deal. In those cases, the kinyan, the method of acquisition, is focused on the land, and along with that, the portable, which was part of the deal, gets transferred as well. So we say that in a land slash portable transaction, the portable goes along with the land and not the other way around. And not the land going along with the portable. So it's hard for us to appreciate what Levi is saying. According to Levi, where it's Caleb Shomakna, a man is selling land, and it's going to be his handkerchief that's being drawn by the customer. We see that the kinyan is made on the handkerchief, and along with that comes the land, and that can't be. Omar Le, so Rava answers, Ihava Levi Hocha. If Levi was standing here, Ave Mapik La'apoch Pulsi Denura, he would have shot in your face fiery discs. Sounds something coming from the world of science fiction, maybe, but he would have attacked you. Mi savris glimo maknale. Who says that in the transaction just described, the land and the handkerchief land deal, he was the seller of the land was transferring ownership of the glima, of the fabric. That's not what was happening. I mean, physically it might look like that, but ba'ihano dekomekabel minei gomar v'aknile. What really was happening is that in exchange for the pleasure that the land seller received by the customer taking the fabric from him, people have the hanop when they see people have pleasure when they see people receiving things. When you offer someone a gift and they happily receive the gift, the gift receiver is actually giving you pleasure. And that is what we have described over here. The gift, the customer who received the handkerchief from the owner of the land was actually giving the owner of the land a source of, or a sense of pleasure, of happiness and satisfaction. And in exchange for the customer giving the land owner a feeling of satisfaction, so the landowner gave him the land. Kitanoi. Now the machlokes between Rav and Levi parallels machlokes Tanoim, an earlier Tanaic controversy. The Tanaic source opens up with a pasuk from the book of Ruth, where the pasuk says, "V'zois lifnim Yisrael." The following was an early tradition in Israel: "Ala geula v'ala tmura lekayim kol davar." Sholaf ish na'alo v'nosan l'rehu. Without getting into the scriptural background to what was taking place, where Boaz was making a deal with the next of kin to Naomi, the pasuk describes a transaction through someone drawing their shoe and giving it to the other party. Now the Gemara goes on in this Tanaic source, breaking down the pasuk into its component parts. The pasuk mentioned geula, zu mechira. The word geula is a reference to sales. And precedent for the word geula being associated with sales, v'cheinu omer, it says in Sefer Vayikra, lo yigael, which means, and it shall not be sold. Tumura, the next word from the book of Rus, zu chalipin. That's a reference to the kinyan chalipin, the immediate transfer of items. V'chein hu omer lo yachlifenu v'lo yomir oisoi. So you see the word yomir, it has as its the root the similar root to the word tumura. And it's taught in the same context as Yachlifenu, which has to do with exchange, with Chalipin. The Pasuk in Ruth said, L'kayim kol dover sholaf ish na'alo v'nosan re'ehu. in order to establish the transaction, he drew his shoe and gave it to him. Here we have a wonderful illustration of how dangerous are pronouns. I use dangerous as a term just for dramatic purposes, but whenever you're learning throughout your learning of the Talmud, of the Shas, don't allow yourself to fall into the trap of merely using a pronoun when you risk the danger of knowing to whom it refers. Pronouns are either we'll call them too general or oftentimes misleading. In this pasuk, the result of the use of pronouns is actually a machlokas. So in the story in the book of Ruth, which we didn't get into before, but we have two parties. One is Boaz. He is the gentleman who eventually married Ruth and gained rights to properties as a result of that. He had to receive the right to marry Ruth and gain those properties from the individual called the Goel over here. So whose shoe was used? So opinion number one, Boaz, who was the kone, he was the acquirer, Nosan Legoel, he gave it to the Goel, who represents he is in the capacity of the seller. So opinion one would be Kalov Shelkoine. And who said above Kalov Shel Kaina? That was Rav. And here we have another Tanaic opinion, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Goyel. He was the seller, Nosan LeBoaz. He gave the shoe. He gave his shoe to Boaz, who was the buyer. Tona, Kainin Bikli Afopish Ein Boishova Pruta. The Brisa, this Tanaic source, says that a kinyan can be made even if it does not have the minimum value of a pruta. Pruta being the smallest form of currency denomination, the vessel used to clinch a deal can be a vessel that lacks even that minimum amount of value. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a double underline marking that is going to highlight the opinions of Rav Nachman or Rav Sheshes. And on the side of our Gemara in the margin, we have the Nosei / Mivneh heading. The double underline, as we said, Machlokes Rav Nachman Rav Sheshes im Peros Yechilos L'Shamesh Kesudar. Now, this Machlokes we discussed in our previous Shiur, but here it's... We're seeing it, we'll see it at its source. We saw this discussed on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, where the Gemara said, Ha Nicha L'Rav Sheshes, Ela L'Rav Nachman. There, the Gemara was assuming maybe that we were familiar with their opinions. Here you're seeing their opinions in their, we'll say, their initial presentation. Do fruits or food items serve, can they serve as the sudar, as the vessel, the utensil that's used to actualize a chalipin transaction? And in simple terms, we say, ipiri nase chalipin. The Gemara. Omer Rav Nachman, lo yishanu elo bekli. The teaching that we just saw, that a kli works even for actualizing a transaction, even if it doesn't have a shove pruto, that's provided it is a vessel, avol peri lo. But we would not say the same thing with regard to fruits or food items. Now, I didn't explain 100% accurately, but Rashi points out, lo shanu dekinin kinyan ela bekli, not just the issue of the value, but the essential transaction itself cannot take place with fruits. That is what we mentioned in our introductory remarks. So Rav Nachman is telling us that Peros cannot be the means of a Kinyan Chalipin. Rav Sheshes Omar Afilu Beperos. You can make a Chalipin transaction by one party drawing fruits, thereby causing immediate exchange of the item being sold. My time under Rav Nachman, what is the source for Rav Nachman's rejection of Peros as serving as the Kinyan Chalipin? Omar Krah, the Pasuk says, Na'ar lo. He, in the book of Ruth, we saw a shoe featured as the means of Chalipin. Na'ar in. A shoe, yes, midiachrino lo, but something else, no. Now, the shoe representing vessels. Vessels and not food items. My time at the Rav Sheshes, where does Rav Sheshes come off saying that fruit can be used as the mechanism of the Kinyan Chalipin? Omar Kro, L'kayim Kol Dovar. And Rashi explains, L'kayim Bich Kol Dovar. We establish transactions through all entities, not just vessels, but fruits as well. L'Rav Nachman, the Gemara asks, Nami Hok Siv L'kayim Kol Dovar. The inclusive expression of L'kayim Kol Dovar, what does that do for Rav Nachman? Rav Nachman, after all, he excluded the use of fruits. Answer, Hahu, L'kayim Kol Dovar D'niknin B'minal. That means that all kinds of transactions can be accomplished through a shoe. So we're not describing the item used as the catalyst for the transaction, but we're describing all transactions. Rav Sheshes Nami Oksiv Nalo. What about Rav Sheshes, who was expansive in his approach? What does he do with the appearance of shoe in the pasuk? Omar Loch Rav Sheshes Ma Na Aloi Dover Hamasuyim. Just like the shoe is a complete entity, it's a shoe, a complete shoe. Af Kol Dover Hamasuyim. So to anything that you're going to be using to create the Chalipin transaction, it has to be complete. Lafuki, to the exclusion of Chatsi Rimon V'Chatsi Egeiz Delo. The exclusion of half a Rimon. Rimon is often translated as a pomegranate, type of peri, a type of fruit, or half a nut. That, even Rav Sheshes would acknowledge, would not be an effective Chalipin. Omer of Sheshes Bray Dravidi. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a topic heading which reads as follows: Mahi Matras Hamishpat. What is the purpose of the following phrase? B'mona Dekasha LeMikniya Bay Shekaisin B'Shtaros. That we write in transfer in documents, bills of transfer, bills of documents indicating a transaction. So in documents, we add this phrase, b'mona d'kosher l'mikne bay. Now the Gemara. So, Omar of Sheshes Bered Avidi, k'man kasvina, you know, according to whom do we write nowadays, b'mona d'kosher l'mikne bay? The words, first we can translate them, but we'll appreciate their significance only when we go on in the Gemara. B'mona means a vessel. The kosher, that's kosher, the miknebay, to acquire things through it. Bemona, lafukim Rav Sheshes, the makinim beperos. The term mona is a vessel which shows not fruits, so that our documents reflect the opinion of Rav Nachman, not that of Rav Sheshes, that would have allowed even fruits to serve as the mechanism of transfer. Now the document that we're referring to here indicates that a deal was made using a vessel, mona de kosher lemikne bay. Now the kosher, what does that do? Lafuke midishmuel, to the exclusion of Shmuel, the Omar Kainin. We continue at the top of Omid Bay's be Maroika. Shmuel holds that you can use a Maroika as well for a Kinyan, to establish a Kinyan Chalipin. What's a Maroka? So Rashi says it's a vessel that's fashioned out of animal waste, animal feces. Tosfos says it's a reference to date pits. Date pits are used for preparing a parchment. Shmuel says you can use Morocco as the catalyst for the Kinyan Chalipin. And our practice in writing Mona de Kosher comes to exclude that. We would not accept that. Shmuel says it's acceptable as the method of Chalipin. We would not. Lemikne. Now, that word, Lemikne, is Lafuke Midalevi. The Omar Bekelev Shel Makne, Komashma Lemikne, Velo Lekanuye. Here is an issue of being sensitive to language. By using the word Lemikne, Rashi at the top line says, Mashma Liknois Boy. Liknos means to acquire through it. Velo Mashma Lehaknos Bo. And it does not convey the idea of giving over, of giving to someone. So that we're using the phrase makes reference to a vessel through which I acquire. So whose vessel is it? Amol Kelev Shel Kene Komar. So our practice of writing that phrase in documents indicates that the vessel that would be used is the vessel belonging to the purchaser. And that, of course, is to the exclusion of Levi's approach. If Levi's approach were the accepted one, then the language would not have been Lemikne Bay, but it would have been Lekanuye. Now, Bay, that was the fourth word that we want to analyze. Rav Popa Amar Lemute Matbea. Bay is a limitation expression. We say a vessel that's fit for establishing a transaction through it and not something else. Vessel, yes, and not coin. Rav Zvid Vitem Rav Ashi Omer Lemute Isure Hano. Rav Zvid says that apparently he would say you could use a coin, but you could not use something that is forbidden to benefit from. Imagine you're using something that is associated with an idol. There are many, many other examples of Isure Hano, something like Kilei HaKerem, Orla, all kinds of other areas of prohibition, areas that are prohibited to even benefit from, so that you could not use. Ika Diamri, Bay, Omar of Papa, another version is Lemute Matbea, that by the way is the same as the first version, and De Kosher, what does De Kosher do? Now in the Omar of Zvid, Vitema Ravashi, Lemute Isure Hano. The word De Kosher comes to exclude Isure Hano. Now we saw earlier the word de kosher being used to exclude the Morocco. This version is different. This version says that de kosher comes to exclude Isur Hano, and that's not derived from Bay. Avo Morico lo Itzrich. But as far as having a term rejecting Morica, that you don't even need to be told. Rashi says, "Lo itzrich lemeimar delo kani." I don't need to tell you that that would not be effective. It's the type of thing that seems to be obvious. The Gemara continues. Asimon kene es hamadbea v'chulei. We saw in our Mishnah that if you draw an asimon, that creates an obligation to pay cash for it. My asimon. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei / Mivneh heading. A house shape appears. We've written on the side, Deos b'mao asimon dekotoni b'mishnah. Different opinions as to what asimon means. The word asimon that we saw in the Mishnah. My asimon, the Gemara asks, what is an asimon? Omar Rav, mo'ois hanitnois b'simon lebeis amerchatz. They're bad quality coins that are used to in giving to a bathhouse attendant. Rashi explains on the fourth line from the top, Anitnas Besimin, Habalon, the Kabalon is the person who's in charge of the bathhouse. He heats up the water, provides the towels. Habalon Mekabel Simona Miyad HaNimnin Lirchitz Beveis HaMerchitz Ladas Kamohem Ulefiyem Micham HaMayim V'yochin HaOtiyos V'noisin Loid Mois Pusos V'rois B'simen. A group of people who want to use the bathhouse, instead of counting the people 1, 2, 3 by head, which is something actually forbidden in Jewish law, the group of people would give these coins, and referred to right now as asimon. Asimonim, they would be given to the bathhouse attendant. He would count the number of coins, and he would know how many people are coming, and in accordance with the number of coins, he would know how much water to heat up, and how many towels, alontios, to prepare. Mesve. Notice we have a long question marking. We're now going to ask on Rav's definition of asimon, as being mois and nitnus besimin lebeis amerchatz. The following source: Ein mechalin meiser sheni al asimoin velo al mois and nitnus besimin lebeis amerchatz. The redemption of meiser sheni produce, a topic we discussed quite extensively in past shiurim. We're not going to go over all of that information, other than to say that the meiser sheni tithe, according to the Torah, can be, its sanctity can be redeemed onto cash, and you would bring the cash to Jerusalem. This source tells us you cannot transfer the sanctity of the Meiser Sheni onto Asimon, nor onto something else. What's the other thing? Mois Hanitnas B'Simin LeBeis HaMerchatz. So, from this source, you can see that Asimon is clearly something different, something else. Mechlal Asimon Lav Mois Hanitnas B'Simin LeBeis HaMerchatz. V'chitema, you might want to argue, Perushe Komaforish, that the source we just read is not a reference to two separate points as we numbered 1 and 2, but rather, point 2 explains point 1. Namely, you cannot redeem your Meiser Sheni onto an Asimon, and what is that? Mois Hanitnas B'Simin LeBeis HaMerchatz, coins used in the bathhouse. So, if you want to try to advance that explanation, v'halo tonahachi, but in Tanaic sources, you don't see it like that. What do we see in a Tanaic source? Mechalin meiser sheni al asimon divrei Rabbi Doisa. V'chachomim omrim ein mechalin. Can you redeem onto an asimon? So we have a machlokas Rabbi Doisa and the Chachomim. V'shavin, there is agreement, she'ein mechalin al mois hanitnos b'simen lebeis hamerchatz. They agree, however, when it comes to the bathhouse cash, no one holds you can redeem onto that. So, if they're clearly, the asimon is clearly something different than the mois beis hamerchatz. Elo omar Rabbi Yochanan, my asimon, pulsa. We had this expression earlier today, the pulsa denura. We saw fire, discs of fire. That's here, we're not talking about fire. Asimon is a metallic disc. It's basically a coin lacking an imprimatur. It's lacking a form. It's an unminted coin. The Ozda Rabbi Yochanan Litame, in explaining an asimon as pulsa, namely, a coin lacking a form on it, Rabbi Yochanan is consistent with what he has said elsewhere. We look at Rashi, by the way, in the upper part of the narrow lines, the Ozdo Rabbi Yochanan Letamei, Mideuki LeRabbi Yishmael. From the fact that he, Rabbi Yochanan, sets up or establishes Rabbi Yishmael, the polig, al kol davar shein oleh tzura Lahatir Filolov, he is of the opinion that you can mechalel, you can redeem onto things that have no form. So Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion you can redeem onto things that have no form. Rabbi Yochanan tells us, Diomak Rabbi Doisov, that opinion, the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, is like Rabbi Dosa. Now, what did Rabbi Dosa say in the scheme of things? He referred to the ability of redeeming onto an Asimon. So, Ashmin and Rabbi Yochanan, by Rabbi Yochanan telling us that Rabbi Dosa holds like Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shmuel says you can redeem onto things that have no form, Rabbi Yochanan is telling us the Asimon to Rabbi Dosa, Dover Sheina, Lav Tzuruhu, that the Asimon was referred to by Rabbi Dosa is a coin that has no imprimatur on it. So Rabbi Yochanan, in our second house marking, that said Asimon is Pulsa, something that lacks a form, is Rabbi Yochanan consistent with this other statement of his? We read the author Rabbi Yochanan Tameh, the Omer Rabbi Yochanan. What's the other statement of Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Dosa Rishmael, Omer Dover Echad, that these two Tanoim say essentially the same thing. Rabbi Dosa Damoran, Rabbi Dosa, we already saw, say, allowing Chil Meiser Sheni onto an Asimon. And Rabbi Shmuel, Maihi, what's Rabbi Shmuel that is going to be the same as Rabbi Dosa? Tesanya, Vitzarta Kesef Biodcha, that is the pasuk regarding redemption of Meiser Sheni. The rabbis called Dover Hanitzra Briyad, Divrei Rabbi Yishmuel. The pasuk is telling us you can redeem onto anything that can be bound into one's hand. Rabbi Akiva Omer the rabbis called over Sheyesh Olav Tzura. Rabbi Akiva says Betzarta Kesef Biodcha means you can redeem onto all coins that have a form on it. Rabbi Shmuel doesn't require the form on the coin. And Rabbi Yochanan told us that point of view is the same as Rabbi Dosa, who said you can redeem onto an Asimon. And by virtue of association, you can conclude that an Asimon is something that doesn't have a form on it. Ketzad, Mosha Chimenu Peros Veloi Nosan Loi Mois Eino Yochol Lachzer Boi. The Mishnah taught that if one drew fruits and he didn't pay money for it, the deal is clinched. Neither party can back out. The Mishnah went on to say, Nosan Loi Mois Velo Mosha Chimenu Peros, if money was paid up front and the fruits were not drawn, Yochol Lachzer Boi, one could still back out. And here we have the Machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, that again we made reference to this back on Daf Mem Vav Amid Beis, in a by the way fashion. Here Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are presented the original Machlokes is presented here. On the side of the Gemara under Arnosei/Mivneh heading, the diamond marking is used to highlight the Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish I Mo'is Kainais Midoraisa on a Torah level, namely without making reference to any rabbinic intervention, does the paying of money up front clinch a deal? The Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Devar Torah Mois Kainais. On a Torah level, the paying of money would have clinched the deal. By the way, in our Mishnah we saw, money was paid and the deal was not clinched. So Rabbi Yochanan says, on a Torah level, the paying of the money would have clinched the deal. Why do the rabbis say that the money does not clinch the deal until the item is drawn, the portable is drawn? Answer. Gezerah Shema Yoimar Lo, were afraid that if the money would be the deal clincher, then the seller would inform the buyer in the event that a fire broke out and burnt the wheat that was purchased. Nisrifu Chitecha Baliyah, sorry, your wheat, I can't deliver it. It got burnt up in the store, in the Aliyah, the second floor, the attic, the storage, storehouse. The Gemara asks, why should that be a reason that cash doesn't clinch deals? What, are you afraid? You just presented a case where it would seem that the customer, the buyer, would lose out. But he's not going to lose out. So, self man deshar the dleika boy shlumi, whoever lit the fire, he'll have to pay. So there's not going to be any loss. Even if you say that the cash would clinch the deal, the fire isn't going to be reason for a loss to the customer. He'll get compensation from the arsonist. Hello? Gzeira shema tipol dleika ba'inis. What we're afraid of is if the money would clinch the deal and a spontaneous conflagration would break out without anyone responsible. Inis, lightning struck. Will the seller be motivated to try to stop to preserve the wheat that was being transacted? E mukmis lehubir shusei moser nafshe torah chumatzil. If you establish the wheat as being in the seller's possession, namely, the fact that he received money did not clinch the deal. Oh, so the seller says, even though I got money, I'm gonna, if my customer doesn't get his wheat, I'm gonna have to refund him the money, and then I'll be at a loss. I won't have my product. It will have been burnt. So by establishing the wheat in the seller's possession, that seller will moser nafshe, he will extend himself torach and trouble himself with matzil and save it. Vilo, if you don't say that the wheat remains in the seller's domain, lo moser nafshe torach matzil, he's not going to put himself out to try to save it. He'll figure, well, I got the money, the deal is clinched, the wheat, who cares what happens to it? It's his tough luck that it got burnt up. Reish Lakish Omar Meshicha Mefureshes Min HaTorah. Reish Lakish says that from the Torah's perspective, an upfront cash payment does nothing. The Torah expects the customer to draw the item in order to clinch the deal, to establish his ownership of it. My time of the Reish Lakish. What is the source of Reish Lakish's opinion? Omar Krah, the Pasuk says. Now, we're going to proceed to first quote a pasuk, and then there'll be an extensive back and forth discussion as to what each one, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, learn from the pasuk and its various component parts. So, what is the basis of Reish Lakish saying that in the case of portables, the deal clincher is the drawing of it from the Torah perspective itself? Omar Krah, the Pasuk says in Vayikra Perichov, hey Pasuk Yud Dalid, the Chisimkru Memka Lamisecha al Kanoi Miad Amisecha. It goes on to say in the Pasuk, Al Toinu Ish Esoch. If you can see, we have that quoted in the margin, the star edition. What does Reish Lakish see in this Pasuk? Dover Hanikne Miad Liad. It said in the Pasuk, Al Kanoi Miad Amisecha. Now that reference to hand means something that is transferred from hand to hand, meaning something that is drawn by the customer. That is what is kune. That's what clinches the deal. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, the word miyad is limute karka, the less be oino. In the pasuk we read, it said, O kanoi miyad amisecha, al tainu is the prohibition of overcharging, al tainu ish es achiv. So Rav Yochanan says that the pasuk that makes reference to the transfer of an item from hand to hand, that indicates you're dealing with a portable transaction. Transactions of portables are bound by the laws of oino, of the iser of overcharging. Real estate deals are not bound in that same way. We're going to simply leave it at that. We're not going to get into details, but the standard laws of a sixth overcharge or undercharge, which constitute the laws of oino, don't apply to land transactions. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan learns from the pasuk, from the miyad expression. Reish Lakish, what's his response to that? Im kein lichtoiv krah, if the purpose of the pasuk was simply to exclude land from the restrictions of oino, then lichtoiv krah, the pasuk could have said v'chi simkru memkar miyad amisecha al tonu. But the pasuk adds oy kana, oy kano, we saw in the pasuk that phrase, oy kanoi lomali, what is that for? Shma mino l'meshicha. That tells me that to establish a kinyan, you need to do meshicha, the drawing of it. Rabbi Yochanan, oy kanoi my ovidle, what does Rabbi Yochanan do with that phrase? He, Rabbi Yochanan, on a Torah level, was not insistent on drawing it. He needs oikana for that which we'll see in the following source. It says, v'chisimkru memkar, the pasuk we just quoted before here, we skip a few words, al toinu. Ein li'ela shinisana loikeach. When the opening of the pasuk is, when you sell something, and then you skip a few words, al toinu, don't rip off the customer. So, who is being ripped off? The customer. And so I would say that the prohibition of ripping off is only when it comes to a seller ripping off a purchaser. Nisana Moichiminayan, how do we know that the other way around is also a problem, where a scheming customer underpays a vendor for an item? That also is a sinful act. Talmud Lomar O Kanoi Al Tonu. In the same pasuk, you saw whether it be memkar, a sale, or an acquisition. The purchaser is also warned, is also bound by the prohibition of al tonu. Don't rip off the seller. For Reish Lakish, tarti gomar mine. Reish Lakish does not need an additional phrase for that. We look at the Rashi. Rashi that we're looking at is about a third of the way down from the top. Tarti gomar mine. Oinoas moicher, the oino of the mocher, namely where the seller might be ripped off, may oi kanoi al tono. Umeshicha and Reish Lakish's own halacha of drawing learns from that same section of the pasuk. Midesomach miyad. The word miyad appeared in our pasuk. It said, "Okanoi miyad amisecha." The word miyad from his hand, which Reish Lakish took to mean meshicha, from the fact that the word miyad is positioned next to the loshon kinyan velosamche lememkar. When you look in the pasuk, you look at it carefully, you see the word miyad is together with the kano expression, "Okanoi miyad amisecha," and the word miyad did not appear v'chisimkar memkar miyad amisecha, but it was strategically positioned following the word kano that clues Reish Lakish into his opinion that you need to do meshich, you need to draw the item in order to clinch the deal on a Torah level. On the side we have a mivneh, structural note, a triangle is featured. The triangles that you see will be kushios mimakuris al shitas Reish Lakish, questions that we raise from sources, from Tanaic sources, against Reish Lakish's position. The Gemara. Tanan. Reb Shimon Omer kol shan kesef biyodoi yodoi al hil yoyna. We saw in the Mishnah that the one who is holding on to the money, if a customer pays money before drawing the item, Rav Shimon says he, the one holding on to the money, has the upper hand. And what do we learn from that? Moicherhu de motzi hadarbe, lokeach lo motzi hadarbe. The seller, he got the cash, he hasn't transferred the item yet, he has the right to back out. The customer, though, having paid the money up front, cannot back out. If you say like Rabbi Yochanan that money has the power of clinching a deal, paying money up front can clinch a deal. Rabbi Yochanan said on a Torah level, money can clinch a deal. With that we understand Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon's point that although the seller can back out, the buyer who paid the money can't back out anymore, because the money he paid clinched the deal. Eliyamris Moy saying unkindness, if you're going to go like Reish Lakish, that the payment of money on a Torah level, on all levels, is nothing. Lokeach nami laderbe, let the purchaser also have the right to back out As long as he hasn't drawn the item by merely having paid the money up front, if Reish Lakish is correct, the paying up the money up front would have no effect on anything. Let the buyer also back out. Amalach Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish responds, if you're asking on me from the Tana Rabbi Shimon, Aliba de Rabbi Shimon lo koamino, ki koamino aliba de Rabbanan. I stated my point of view, my position, that mois einan kainais, in accordance with the Rabbanan, not in accordance with Rabbi Shimon. The Rabbanan, the Tanakama, and the Mishnah is the opinion that I was explaining. Not, I wasn't attempting to conform or to state a point of view that would have been accepted by Rabbi Shimon at the very outset. Reish Lakish is telling us, I understand very well Rabbi Shimon's position. He will tell you that Mois Kainois, I who said Mois Kainois, was not saying that point within the Tana Rabbi Shimon. Rashi adds that as far as Reish Lakish is concerned, the Tana Rabbi Shimon certainly holds that the idea of drawing something is a rabbinic expectation, a rabbinic requirement. But on a Torah level, money clinches deals. The Gemara continues, Bishlamar le Reish Lakish. Well, if you accept Reish Lakish's approach, things work out well. Hainu Diko Bein, Rabbi Shimon le Rabbanan. Then we understand what their point of controversy is. Rabbanan holding money does not work at all, and Rabbi Shimon holding a cash payment does clinch deals. Elo, the Rabbi Yochanan, my Iko Bain, Rabbi Shimon, the Rabbanan. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, that everyone holds, Meshicha, the idea of needing to draw something, is merely a rabbinic enactment. My Iko Bain, Rabbi Shimon, the Rabbanan. What is the point of difference between them? What are they arguing about? After all, the Rabbanan said that the payment of the money without the drawing of Vana, both parties can back out. And Rabbi Shimon says that with the payment of the money, the seller alone can back out. What are they arguing about? Iko binayu de Rav Chisda. The point of difference between the two Tanoim, the Tanakama of Shimon, is Rav Chisda. The Omer of Chisda, Kederach shetiknu meshicha b'moichrin, kach tiknu meshicha b'lekochos. Just as the rabbis established meshicha with regard to sellers, meaning that as long as the customer hasn't drawn the item, the seller can back out, so too the takona of meshicha, namely which until it is done, the sale can be reversed. Rav Chisda says that applies to buyers as well, that as long as they haven't drawn the item, they also can back out. Rabbi Shimon less later Rav Chisda. Rav Shimon does not hold from Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda granted equality, equal rights of reversal prior to Mashiach to sellers and buyers as well. Rav Shimon doesn't hold by that. Rabbi Shimon says that the right to back out prior to Meshicha is limited to the seller, not the buyer. If the buyer paid the money and didn't draw it, he can't back out anymore. Rabbanan Islu de Rav Chisda. And the Rabbanan said both parties, buyer and seller, have the right to back out prior to Meshicha. That's the Rabbanan. The Tanakama hold like they accept Rav Chisda's approach. Tanan. Here we have a source, a Tanaic source that in which you see only really a partial quote from a larger source that we'll see quoted later. It says, Avol Omru, even though let's say money didn't clinch a deal, but Misha Pora, if you want to back out though, after money was paid, then you're subjecting yourself to a curse. And where the rabbi said, Mishapora Midora Mabul, he who punished the generation of the flood, Who also the parim imishena oimei b'dibur? He in the future will punish those who don't keep their words. E amres bishlamo mois kanois. If you go like Rabbi Yochanan, then on a Torah level, by paying cash, a deal is clinched. Mishum hachi kai bavol. We understand why, after paying the money, and someone wants to back out, you're backing out from a deal. So therefore, they deserve the curse. The avol is just a catchword here. We dashed underline it at the beginning of the previous line, the phrase introducing the curse. Avol I amris moisein and kainois. If you say that the payment of money up front doesn't clinch anything, there's no deal yet, so my koi baba, why would one who backs out be subjected to a curse? The more answers, mishum dvorim, because of their word. Okay, a deal wasn't clinched, but someone gave their word that they're going to go through with the deal. A seller gave his word, I will sell you the item. If he backs out, so he deserves a curse. The Gemara asks, Ubedvara mikoy bavol, and by simply not keeping your word, in the absence of receiving money, does that subject the person to the curse? V'ha tanya, and we continue. Notice we have a long question. We have the following source. It says, Rabbi Shimon Oimer, Af al pi shomru. Talis kaina dinar zov ein dinar zov kaina talis. Even though it has been said that drawing the talis, the clothing, the article of clothing, obligates the payment of the gold coin, the currency, and the payment of the gold coin does not obligate in the delivery of the talis. Mikol mokom kach halacha. True, that's the letter of the law. Aval omru, but it has been said, the rabbis say, Mishapora Manchidora Mabul, Umeanchidora Bloga, Umeanche Stone Vamoro, Mi Mitzrayim Bayam, he who punished the generation of the flood, the generation of the Tower of Babel, the members of Stone and Amora, and the Egyptians at the sea. Who, Osilipora, Mimishaino, Imed Bidiburo, he will punish those that don't keep their words. Now, where do we see the curse? This Mishapora curse. The term Mishapara you saw on the third line from the top, at the end of the line, he who punished them will punish this guy. In what context is this being said? This is said in the context of after money was paid, then, and someone wants to back out, so then the curse. However, v'noisei v'noisei b'dvorim lo kona. Someone who conducts business through mere words without any actual payments or transactions, it doesn't clinch deals. So that's an agreement to sell something, that doesn't clinch a deal. And one who backs out after having given their word, the spirit of the sages is not pleasant with regard to this individual. The rabbis are not happy with him. When it comes to Dvorim, which was mentioned at the bottom of the Mem Zayin Amud Beis, when it comes to backing out of a mere word, the only problem with that is that the rabbis are not happy with you. But that doesn't subject one to a mi shepora. So that when you go back to the source where you saw the curse referenced, that was after money was paid, before an item was drawn, they want to back out. Someone wants to back out of the deal, and the other party doesn't want to back out. So he who wants to back out is subject to a curse. What does that show us? It shows us that the payment of the money must have had some kind of effect. That's like Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish said the payment of money is a nothing. So, and if you'll say, well, the curse comes for not keeping your word, we see in the source that's not the case. Do we have any defense for Reish Lakish? The Gemara answers. Devarim ve'ika badayel mois kai bavol. Your giving of your word and payment of money along with that generates the curse. We're not saying that it generates any acquisition, but it's more than just mere words. That you gave your word and money was paid, that's worthy of the curse. Devarim ve'ika badayel mois, a mere agreement, verbal agreement, but not, there wasn't even money paid, lo kai bavol, that does not warrant or justify the one who backs out to be subject to a curse. We take a look at the Rashi on the third narrow line, kai bavol, mishum dvorim, shebo, al-kach, l'chlal maise. The curse comes as a result of one giving their word, and through giving their word, an action was done, payment of money. Avol mois lo konu midoraisa. But on a strictly Torah level, there was no deal clinched on by the payment of the money. V'nafkamina linyan isura. There is a practical difference between these two opinions regarding laws of Isur. Isur is what we call ritual law as opposed to commercial law. Kigonim kidesh boy eso isha. Imagine a vendor received money for an item. And then that seller took the money and offered it to a woman in marriage. In other words, in exchange for the money, she agrees to marry him. Is she married? Is the money that the vendor gives her considered his? It would be considered his if the deal was clinched. So Rabbi Yochanan have a kiddushin. Her marriage would be a marriage, a legitimate marriage to this man, to this seller. Demidoraisa kanya v'didehu, on a Torah level, he acquired the money, and that clinched the deal. The money is therefore his. The Reish Lakish lo have a kiddushin. According to Reish Lakish, the money that vendor received didn't clinch a deal. It's not considered his. The deal could be reversed on a Torah level. And therefore, his offering her the money before the customer draws the item would not be a kiddushin. It wouldn't be an offer of marriage. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.